The year 1974 will go down in Northwest history as the year that Judge George Bolt, in a landmark decision, ruled that Washington State must honor treaty obligations and split the annual salmon harvest with Puget Sound Indian tribes. It's referred to as the famous, or infamous, depending on your point of view, Bolt decision. Having lived in the Northwest since 1988, I know the anger at the decision has lingered many years after. That's why it's somewhat understandable why my friend Beaver Chief was persecuted for a crime he did not commit just a few years after the Bolt decision was handed down. The tensions between the ancestors of settlers and the natives were, and still are, very intense. Beaver Chief is a Northwest Native Indian doctor, coming from a long line of Indian doctors. Cousin of Johnny Moses, a storyteller and shaman, Beaver Chief is now raising funds to pay for his legal defense fund. How did he end up in jail for 3 months, and how can he talk about it without wanting to kill someone are a couple of topics up for discussion as we welcome back to the program our friend and mentor, Beaver Chief. Welcome. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Paul.
So nice to have you here. You know, after a while, you being in jail for those several weeks, those 3 months, we wondered if we would ever have you back here, but we knew that justice would prevail, and in fact, it has. And I want to talk all about it and hear your story. The first thing I'd like to do, though, to, set the stage for the interview is perhaps a song. Would that be something you'd be into?
Okay. I didn't bring my drum, though, this time, but I'll sing a full moon song. Giving thanks, and it's also referred to as an angel song, so I give thanks in this time for all of our ancestors. Oh, oh, oh.
Wow, that's beautiful. It's a treat to be able to put this kind of stuff on the radio because it's not the kind of thing you hear every day, and it really just, I can feel it really in my heart. The gesture that you did right after singing the song is something you do, and that's something that's a tradition with the people from this area, the Native people. Why don't you tell us about that?
Yes, it's the ending of one prayer and the beginning of another. We feel that our life is a prayer, and no matter what we're doing, no matter how we like it, we give thanks and we send it from our heart, from our center. We put our hand on our heart and we send it to the Creator of all creation. We make that sound, oh, and then the Creator receives this prayer and puts a blessing back on our hand, and we put our hand back down to our heart. And the blessing isn't always for ourselves. It may be for someone along the line, and it may be a small gesture of a smile and saying, hello, it's good to see you. And they feel something. And that's what that is. It's the ending of one prayer, the beginning of another. And our way of saying amen, I guess that's easiest.
Yeah, but I really like that thought that you take that what was in your heart, you hold your hand, your palm up to the Creator takes that, puts a blessing back, and you put it back on your heart. So the circular notion of that, which fits in with the Native people of this area, is just a beautiful thing. I've known you, I guess I met you first at the Pacific Northwest Medicine Wheel Gathering, where Sun Bear and also Elizabeth Kubler-Ross was there.
Oh, yes.
Johnny Moses and you were both together, and the first thing I remembered was your laugh, just very intense. I tell people, when you laugh, the world shakes, and I don't think that's an exaggeration. And I guess that's going on about maybe 7, 8, 9 years, something like that.
It's when he passed away, yeah. Right after that, he passed away, Sun Bear.
Yeah. And so, having known you for 8 years, this is past your wild teenage years, where I didn't know you. And it's, to me, it's almost inconceivable that you could have ever had problems with the law, because I know you as a very spiritual man. I've been to your circle many times. You've hosted circles in my space, and are responsible to a large degree for the wonderful feeling that we have in our space. And so it's almost inconceivable for me to begin to picture a scenario where you were put in jail or where you lived a life where you didn't really care about people, where you were doing things that were against the law and what have you. So there was obviously a change somewhere. Maybe you can give us a before and after situation with your own personal life and tie it in with the fact that you're now raising funds for your legal defense fund.
Well, I'm Northwest Coast Native American Indian, indigenous to here, Seattle areas, and that's the first. We never really trusted the government because they've always lied to us, always. They'd say something good and give us something good, and we think that it was good until later on, years to come, and it was really terrible. They told us to quit hunting and fishing, my forefathers and mothers, and said that they'll take care of us. And they took care of us till we got sick, and sick from the foods that they gave us called commodities, and all these things. And then they wanted us to celebrate all these different gatherings, like the 4th of July, being independent from our own land. This didn't make any sense to us, but we went along with it. But in private, we would just talk about that and say, we're not really celebrating this for being independent, but just as friends, you know. And I wish they'd get it right some year, sometime, maybe they will. These things led me into a place where I didn't care about the government and the law. I thought they were silly being inside of our area and telling us what to do all the time. This is silly, you know, the law. And I used to do things that were very strange, you know, I just do them. And I got in trouble and I didn't care about getting in trouble. But I never hurt the people. And I guess the law, you know, they said that was the people. So they did prosecute me in many, many different ways. And this last time, I left from this way and everything because I had a son being born, and that changed me. And I decided that I have to change my life. And I was tired. I was on probation parole at that time.
And this is for basically property crimes or stealing things or that kind of thing. No crimes against people.
Yeah, well, there were some things. Yeah, there were things like if somebody hit me, I'd hit them, and then I would go down their family, you know, like that, you know, because I always figured in my mind that if you hit one person, you know, like come back on them, that their whole family's going to come after you. And so you better go against all of them, you know, and no matter how many years it takes, you better do it. And that was in my mind, and that was strange, you know. I got out of that thinking, though, and everything. But I used to think like that all the time. So it was very strange here in the Northwest. I thought about those things while going to Catholic school and different things, St. James Cathedral, and learning with the priest, and then going out and doing things, you know. And I don't know. Maybe it was the influence of just a lot of things. I remember people being cut up here in the Northwest, Jackson, Chinatown, and all over the place back in the 50s, and being found inside of different places, inside of, refrigerators and stuff like this here. And then it stopped, you know. I think it went underground or something. But
Green River Killer or something like that.
Yeah. And we knew of that, you know, knew of all these things, and we'd pray about it. I never killed nobody, that's for sure. I never did that, and I would never do that. And I would never hurt somebody that, this is hard to say, but they didn't deserve it. And so all these things led me into a lot of craziness, you know, by the laws concept, you know. And I would never say, I didn't do that. I would just say, well, just tell me what I have to do now, you know, send me away, do whatever I have to do.